Baby Tara, that's me. Baby Tara's just a little guy, but he asks big questions. My dad had an insatiable appetite for knowledge. My dude. He has got a friend, and his friend's name is Bill. My like Bill. We're gonna visit and talk to Bill's friends. It's gonna be such fun for baby Taro and you. Once there was a guy named baby Taro. There still is. And he's got a friend. His friend's name is Bill. You already know this part. We got a podcast called the Baby Taro Happy Apocalypse Podcast. That's a long name, but you don't mind. No, that's okay. That's okay. My hear a horn honking. My thing is Bill.
At the light, turn left onto Court Street.
Who that lady talking?
That's the lady that tells us where we're going. Could be a man, too. It depends what you ask for.
You might ask for a lady. Do you like the lady?
She gets me where I need to go, and the man does, too.
That's kind of an invasive answer, Belle. Hey, we're going past your house. Toot, toot. Give it a toot, Bill.
See, I don't like my horn. It's too aggressive.
You need a little wimpy horn.
Well, thank you. Where are we going today, baby Carl?
We're going to Moncton, Vermont. We're going to go to an outside school because the kids don't want to learn inside, my guess, my thinking. They want to be outside kids, like from Lord of the Flies. It's a Lord of the Flies school, isn't it, Bill?
No, it's not, baby Carl. It's a school that teaches people all kinds of valuable and fun things, but it just doesn't have a building. It doesn't have a roof or windows. It's all outside. And it's not scary, and there are no flies.
I bet there are flies in the springtime. Black flies, because we're in Vermont, buddy.
Let's talk about the happy apocalypse. You're going to ask people what their happy apocalypse is or what their big reveal is. So do you think they'll know what that means? And will they laugh at you or will they just look at you like, what is he talking about? Have you thought about that?
I don't know, Bill. We didn't have to talk to him and meet him and just kind of feel it out and then explain to them when they want to know what's going on with the happy apocalypse. Does baby Carl want to know why they decide to do what they do? Because that, for me, is fascinating. Bill, are we there yet?
Hey, guess what, baby Carl? We are here. We're driving into Willow Well. There we go. We're slowing down. We're going to get onto this dirt road.
You're a crazy driver.
Oh, don't get sick. That's the last thing I need.
So far, it doesn't look like much. Might just see a parking lot.
Well, you know, I told you, you're not going to see a school. No buildings here.
It's like a school without a school.
That's pretty good. It's a school without a school.
Ooh, Bill, I see a big yellow school bus. And some kids. Big kids. My like the cute sound a bus made. What's your name?
I'm Charlie, DJ Brain Food.
DJ Brain Food? Yeah. That sounds delicious.
It is delicious.
Do you like it here?
I love it here.
Why do you love it here?
Because I love everyone around me.
That sounds good. That's good food for my brain.
It's good food for your brain. Yes.
We're going to head down?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Nice Thanks to meet you. Carl.
We'll see you soon.
So they have to say it.
Folks, park yourselves down. Put your phones away.
Wait, can you grab me a seat, Natalie? Please. I love you.
Okay, so
Yeah.
All right, folks. So,
watching over us.
Before we dive into community meeting, maybe if on three we could all say good morning, baby Carl. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Good morning, baby Carl.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to see you.
We're happy to have you here, baby Carl.
Tell us your name, friend.
Hi, my name is Matt Schlein.
Hi, Matt Schlein. Where are we right now? What are we doing today?
Well, right now we're having a conversation in a yurt in Moncton, Vermont at the Willowell Foundation on a 220-acre tract of land.
Wouldn't this be a lot easier if you were inside school?
I'm not sure what you mean by easier, baby Carl.
I mean, it's cold, and sometimes it rains, and sometimes it snows, and you'd have to do schoolwork, right? You'd have to be learning.
Yeah, well, I think some of that learning happens best in the cold and in the rain and in the snow and in the sunshine, because I think we humans, we come from this earth, and I think sometimes when we go into school buildings, we like to think of ourselves as somehow detached from the world. And I think by being out here in the elements, we're reminded of our connection to our Mother Earth.
You could teach different places. What made you want to teach here?
Well, I had been teaching in the building, in the high school, and I liked it okay. I was teaching English, drama, and psychology, and it was a pretty good gig. But I was finding that by being inside in a building all day, I was getting a little bit crabby and grumpy. And I was also noticing that I wasn't the only one, that the environment really impacted the students' experience some. And where we live in Vermont, it's so beautiful. And it just seems so wrong that when we're trying to make sense of the world, we take young people and we put them in cinder block buildings with fluorescent lights. When we live in Vermont, the light is so fantastic and the weather and the environment, even when it's cold, it's still really beautiful here. And I think beauty and aesthetics matter. And I think they help make the learning experience fun. I think school should be fun.
Me too. I like having fun. Did you have a moment when you said, I know what am I going to do? Am I going to have an outside school? Tell baby Taro.
I did have a moment.
That's an apocalypse moment.
a positive apocalypse moment.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of students who when I started teaching, I said I wanted to watch one group go from grade 7 through grade 12. And I would sort of watch them. And I would sort of like decide, do I want to stay part of the public school system or not based on what I observed? And I had a group of seniors that year who I'd worked with for 5 or 6 years, and they were really interested in philosophy. So we had a little afternoon philosophy class where during lunchtime we would go outside and we would read philosophy, and we would sit around, and it was super, super fun just sitting in the grass and just talking about the big questions of life. And then I would just contrast like the way the conversation felt being outside versus being in the building. And I realized that nature was part of that conversation. And I would say that as a species, where we are right now is that we've forgotten to include Mother Nature into the conversation. And so while I like to teach my classes about literature and psychology and talk about all that nerdy stuff that I find really important, I actually think the master teacher out here is nature. And I think that experience of being in nature really gives context to young people.
Remind me your name again. I forgot again.
I'm Charlie, or DJ Brain Food.
How long you been at this school?
This is my third year.
What have you learned?
I've learned a bunch of stuff. I've learned how awesome it is. I've learned I can do whatever I want in my life. I've learned how to focus, and I've learned how to make the best of every situation.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that? I don't know. It taught me some ways of mindfulness, and it taught me to think in a way that I can escape the bad parts of a situation and find the good in it. I can use the skills I learned here, take them to other places. Like, I went to Seattle. I lived in Seattle, and I took, like, the mindfulness from here and my social skills I gained from here, and I brought them there, and I made friends, and it was a good time, and I learned I can do that anywhere, pretty much.
That sounds great. So why didn't you go to regular school? Why did you come here originally?
I did go to normal school for the first year, kind of and a half. But then I was going to drop out because I was very distracted and I wasn't very good at traditional school. I was smart, but I didn't like the teachers. I'd always get kicked out and I was loud and annoying.
So you figured out a way to make it work here.
Yeah, with quarantine, they kind of had an extra spot.
That's great. So you get to go to school outside. Don't you get cold?
I do. I'm cold a lot, right? Especially right now. Not as bad right now, but sometimes it gets really bad. But if you learn to dress warm and you know that when you get home, you're going to be like really comfortable and warm, that's always a good thing to look forward to.
You get kind of a cozy after being super cold.
Yeah, I like to go to the sauna after with my friend.
No, what are you going to do after school? You going to graduate? And then what?
I want to go to college, maybe. I never thought about doing that, but I kind of do want to do that. I want to try to do some screenwriting. I want to DJ weddings and also events, clubs, and stuff. I'm a radio DJ right now, so I have a pretty good setup for that. I want to firefight. And, yeah, make movies.
Firefight? What does firefight mean?
Like a firefighter.
Oh, you want a firefight? I never thought about it like that. Yeah. Am I going to go police? Am I going to go firefight? Okay, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So,
maybe you could DJ a fire.
That would be crazy. That would be... I do want to get fire, like, not dispensers. Fire...
Extinguishers?
Shooters. No, fire... I have a fire extinguisher. Fire shooters for when I DJ. When it gets really crazy, I can like make it fires go up.
The guy's on fire.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Thanks again for talking to me. My tummy's grumbling. I gotta go eat.
Yeah, we have stew. Get filled up, baby Carl.
Thanks. My friend Matt, you gotta be outside every day. Isn't that hard? Do you wake up in the morning and go, oh God, I gotta go outside again all day? Might it be cold?
Sometimes I do think that. But the flip side of it is sometimes I wake up and say, oh my God, what a beautiful day. I can't wait to go out into the warmth and into the sunshine. And even on those really, really cold, hard days, it's still really beautiful in the woods. And with the snow during lunchtime, we can have snowball fights or we can go sledding. And the way the light looks in the cedar grove when the snow is on the trees and the ice is forming, it's really, really magical. And if you think about it, shouldn't that be the point of schools, to inspire people and to feel a sense of awe and wonder as opposed to a sense of dread? So, yeah, sometimes I'm not so excited to go out into the cold, but I always appreciate the adventure. And then when I come back home and I'm sitting by my wood stove with a cup
cozy.
Of tea. It's the best. Exactly, baby Carl.
I like being cozy.
Yeah, me too.
I like hugs. I like baby hugs. Speaking of snow, we don't have any snow, but it's December.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Can we get some snow?
I hope we can. Its presence, its absence is notable.
Yeah, does that make you worried about stuff?
It does. And I also believe in resilience. And I believe that this is an opportunity for us to really be deliberate and to rethink some of the ways that we relate to the world around us. So I am concerned. I see things out there that make me a little bit nervous. But I also see people trying to come together to come up with a new way to think about the intersection between humans and the rest of the world.
Baby Pearl, oh, sorry, my stepped on you. That's what we say in the podcast land. When you talk, I talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing when you were learning how to walk, baby Carl, that you...
That wasn't long ago.
Right, and you fell down a bunch, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I hurt myself and cried.
Yeah, but did you just stay on the ground forever and ever?
No.
What'd you do?
I died back up.
You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And now, how's your walking going?
Better than Bill's, because he got a new knee.
That's right, better than Bill's, right? So,
yeah.
So that's what resilience is. It's about when you, it's like when you were learning how to walk. It was like you fall down, but you believe that you can get yourself back up.
Got it back up.
Yeah, and you walk better than ever. Better than Bill.
Might it be even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, my resilient.
Yeah.
I might use my new word. Yeah. That's cool. I talked to a couple of your students, and they seemed very nice, and they liked to talk to baby Taro, and they said they liked the school. What do you like about the school when you teach? When everything's going, when you got your flow, when you think, oh my gosh, my love teaching, what does that feel like?
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. I mean, because when teaching and learning is working, it's about connection. And it's about forming bonds. And I think one of the things that's really nice about the teaching out at the Walden Project is that we have it limited to 18 students and two teachers. And it's around a fire. So we get to know each other really well. And so the students aren't just some number, some distant, vague person. And I, as a teacher, I'm not some big, bad authority figure. But it's actually like a real live dialogue that happens. So it feels really authentic.
Yeah. What did the word authentic mean?
That's a great question.
My dad all kinds.
I think of something that's authentic as being real and being original.
Yeah.
So I'm not just doing everything that everyone else is doing. I'm being my unique self, and my students are being their unique selves.
Ah, maybe they feel relaxed and able to be themselves in this environment.
I think so. I think so. And I think they feel like their voice matters, which it does. Because for a community to work, all the voices need to come together. And because we're not such a big group, there's room and there's space for all the voices to be heard.
Let's hear a little bit of the spirited conversation right now.
Because you care about it.
Yeah, that's a dog.
So all people... Not like other people, you should care about them, like, objectively. You should care about them.
This fucking mindset other that, people. Like, humans are
you should care about other people
else.
Because they have lives
off.
And they have
yeah, I do.
They have positions that, like, people. Could be bad. So wouldn't you want to protect them instead of
yes,
having more, like, money
people.
Or having...
Well, I'm
people
saying
are
the
nothing
earth.
Without
okay,
the earth.
Okay,
if you
let's
didn't
go.
The earth
people
is.
People are different.
If you didn't
people,
have the earth, you wouldn't
go to
be able to so live.
We go to the moon.
The
yeah,
moon
yeah,
doesn't have fucking trees.
Well, yeah, you know, and the truth is it can be boring if we all say yes and agree all the time. One of the things, baby Carl, I don't know how much you're following the politics in America right now, but kind of what's going on is people are disagreeing with each other, but they're not talking about the disagreement. They're staying on their side of the equation.
They say, talk to the hand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but I think we need to talk to the face. We need to be able to have conversations with people, and we need to be able to disagree, but to be able to look at each other in the eye while we're disagreeing and smiling. I think that's important. There's a philosopher who I love, a guy named John Dewey, and he said that schools should be the laboratories for democracy. And that's kind of what we're hoping is happening out here at our school, that this is a laboratory for democracy, that we can disagree with ideas, but at the end of the day, we can still see ourselves as part of one community.
Yeah, we got a whole community, the whole earth and family community.
Yeah, that's right.
The whole on the planet and all the people that we don't even know.
That's right. That's right.
Like, you didn't know baby Taro till today when
no,
we
I
met.
Didn't. No,
and now we're a community.
We're buddies now, right?
But yeah, we're buddies. But also, we were kind of part of a community even before we didn't know each other even.
That's right. That's right.
That sounded strange.
But kind of cool.
Yeah. Mike can like people I don't even know.
Yeah.
Hey, I might like those people. Because they're people. I might ought to be nice to them.
Yeah.
This is the philosophy of baby Taro.
That's some wise philosophy.
Yeah. The name of the school is a Walden School. Why is it called a Walden School? Because it doesn't have any walls.
Well, it doesn't have any walls. That's right. No,
so it's not walled in.
It's not walled in. That's exactly right. But we're called the Walden Project, and because we're the ideas of the school are tied in with this great American philosopher, a guy named Henry David Thoreau, and he lived in the 19th century, and he spent 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days in the woods asking, like, what are the most important questions that are out there? And
like Baby Taro.
Just like Baby Carl, yeah. And he was, you know, like people, you know, and when you get older, Baby Carl, you'll read about him in school. I mean, he's sort of a famous worldwide philosopher. But during his lifetime, he wasn't famous at all. He just saw a lot of change that was going on in the world. And he said, well, I can't make sense of all this change until I make sense of myself. And I really think deeply about what are the questions that matter. So that's kind of what the premise of the school is, that we go into the woods and we look at what are the big questions and what really matters, and the questions of, like, what is my relationship with myself? What is my relationship with nature? What is my relationship with society? And we really emphasize the importance of living in connection with each other and with nature, which is something the Transcendentalists were really, really big on doing. And
I was going to say the word Transcendentalist today, and you beat me to it. We're going to have to deal with Transcendentalism in a minute, but you got to bring me back to Walden, because I know Thoreau, because I have read him thoroughly, that he wrote a book called Walden Pond.
Right.
On Walden Pond, maybe. What is the name of the book?
The name of the book is Walden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like the school.
Just like the school.
Okay. So we're Walden School.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Walden Project. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Walden School, the Willow. Never mind.
No, it's all right. You got it,
okay,
baby girl.
All right.
Yeah, it's Willowell Foundation.
Willowell Foundation.
And they're and the Walden
Project.
Walden
Project.
Yeah.
And a Baby Carl School.
A Baby Carl School. Yeah. 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 And one thing I should say about the Walden Project that I think that's really important is that we're part of the public school system. So this is for kids grades 10 through 12 who live in this part of Vermont, who want to do something a little different with their education, and they're curious about these big questions. So they apply to be part of this program.
So it's not a pay-to-play kind of thing.
It's not a pay-to-play. Everyone gets to play for free.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So they could just be like, I don't like going to school inside. I want to go to school outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they write an essay.
Yep.
And apply.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Baby Carl going to do that.
Yeah. Just need to learn how to write, Baby Carl. And then you'll be all set.
Yeah. My dad Grammarly for that. Sorry. Might digress. What is your name?
I'm Theo.
Theo, what do you do here?
I'm a student. I'm in my senior year here. This is my first year at Walden, actually, but I came and visited frequently last year and just thrived much better out here. So,
why do you think you thrived?
Well, I never really was able to function normally in public school. I'm previously a Waldorf kid, so I've...
Like the salad?
No, it's based on Rudolf Steiner's teachings. It's like similar to this. It's outdoor education a lot. And I was in that for most of my life. So I just have always thrived better in the outdoors than inside a public school building.
Do you know why?
Well, I've had... Like, there's always educational challenges. I struggle with some classes. I'm really bad at math. And just being inside and in, like, a public school situation, it just, like, was never really the right fit for me.
Do you think you're going to go to college?
No, actually, I'm not.
That's okay.
Yeah. The things that I want to do in my life just don't require it. And
what are you going
to
do?
I'm joining AmeriCorps. We have a AmeriCorps person here with us. She's not here today, but she's lovely. Her name is Cammie, and I adore her. And she has inspired me a lot to join the program and help people out.
That sounds great. I like helping people.
Yeah.
Helping people is good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited.
What do you think you learned here over the last year so far?
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much. I've learned a lot about blacksmithing, actually. We've built, we're in the process of building a little blacksmithing studio spot over there. And Anthony is a volunteer who comes and teaches us about blacksmithing normally on Mondays. And that's been a really cool experience.
It kind of seems like that through the school you learn that you could do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I putting words in your mouth?
No, not at all. You're definitely on the right track, yeah.
Do you think if you got dropped in the woods somewhere that maybe sort of you'd be okay from the stuff you learned here in nature?
Maybe. Like a hatchet situation.
A hatchet situation? That sounds scary.
Have you ever read that book? It's a good book.
No, it's called Hatchet Situation.
It's just called Hatchet, but it's about a boy who gets stranded in the woods and has to survive.
So he had a situation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. I guess you're right.
How do you feel when you see kids graduate?
Well, I feel super proud. It's you know, when Walden works, it's really amazing to see kids find their own voice and to find their purpose and their passion. And, you know, if they leave the program, maybe they come in here like a little bit lost, figuring out, well, what do I want? I don't like regular school. And then they leave and they're like, I want to do this or I want to do that. And they're all fired up about it. It's so cool to see. And I've been doing this for 23 years now. So I've watched some of my students go on and they're parents and they enter the workplace. And they still look back on their time in the woods as being really, really important for rooting themselves in the big questions of life. And that's cool to see. And one of the students who around the fire, their dad was part of the original Walden Project 23 years ago. So we've had generations of kids who've participated in this kind of education.
Wow, that's fun.
Super fun.
It's like a family in the woods.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they go to college and sometimes they don't.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the idea is whatever it is that you want to do, you should whatever your dreams and aspirations are, it's our job to have the curriculum align with what your dreams and aspirations are. And a large percentage of them do go on to college, and a lot of them go on to study the environment and writing and the social sciences. But, you know, some of them go off and become like filmmakers or artists or teachers or and some of them don't go to college and they, you know, work in the local garage or they become carpenters or farmers or whatever.
All kinds of people.
All kinds of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a fun part about the Walden Project, because we want to be a home to all the students in our community, that we're not just the kids who are having a hard time or not just the kids who are doing super, super well, but everyone, from those who are doing great to those who are struggling and everyone in between. So that's like a real community where there some at any given moment, some people are doing well and some people are not doing so well. So we want to be a microcosm, which means like a small
reflection.
Yeah, you
have the big words. That's a big word. It means a little thing, though.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Funny.
Yeah, so it's a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is the larger whole. So we're like a small representation of the larger.
Am I having transcendental thoughts now? I think. Do you think that when kids go to school outside, that they might love the earth more and protect the earth more when they get big?
That's certainly the hope. That's certainly the hope, because I think that that's one of the things that we used to remember as humans, but I think we forgot. And I think all this technology that we have, it's really fun. There's a lot of cool things that we can do. But I think the shadow of that is that we forget that we're part of the natural world. When you can walk into a building and it can be 70 degrees, no matter the time of the year, you know, you forget that the earth moves, that the earth changes. And the truth is, most of our time spent as humans, we've known how to live with that variation of cold, and we've needed to live in relationship with nature. But one of the things that's happened in the last 100 to 200 years is we've tried to dominate nature. And there have been some positives that have come from it, but there have also been a whole host of negatives. So, you know, my hope is that when they spend the time outdoors, that they remember what we always used to know.
That sounds transcendental there.
It's way transcendental.
That's cool. I might like that. Somebody was chopping up some wood when I was there. You guys are having class, mm-hmm. and then there was someone chop, 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 and chop. And what was that person doing and why? Do you know?
Yeah, if we don't have a good fire, we're cold. So there's a tradition in Japan called Zen Buddhism, and one of the sayings there is, before you reach enlightenment, you chop wood, and after you reach enlightenment, you chop wood. And so if we're going to sit around in the woods and have enlightened conversations, we also need to be chopping wood to keep ourselves warm. So it's not just about the mind. It's also about the body. And it's also about the intersection between the two. So some people are caretaken for the words and other people are caretaken for the environment. We need it all.
Stewards.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a word. So baby Taro, to do everything right. To care for the planet and love the earth, and then still things might be bad anyway. So how do I keep doing the right thing? And why care for the planet when it's all hurt anyway?
Well, I think in each moment we've got a choice that we can make with our steps. And are we walking towards bringing people together, or are we walking towards fracturing further what's already been ruptured? And I think we do have a choice. I think that humans, we've often struggled. I mean, you know, when Bill and I were younger, like there was the fear of like nuclear apocalypse could happen. So there was like at any moment things could end. So I think that that's sort of part of like as human beings who are aware, who are thinking, you know, the potential for things to go wrong, it's around us all the time. And at the same time, look at the amazing things that we're capable of creating. So I think we've got a capacity to both create and to destroy. And I, for one, believe that if enough people are willing to link arms and think about what do we create, I think we can create something really spectacular and something really, really wonderful. And I think if we give in to the cynicism and the nihilism, you know, then we will wind up destroying things. But most of the people that I meet, I really like them, just like you, baby Carl. I didn't know you today, but
thanks.
I really, really like you.
I like you too, Matt.
So I think that we need to focus on, we need to sort of feed the hope, and we need to feed the positive, and not pretend that the negative isn't out there. But I think if each of us, you know, tries to take a step forward in the right way, I do think we can find a way to rebalance how it is that we relate with Mother Earth.
Yeah.
It'll be really fun.
I want a happy planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just, you know, thinking about like the Walden Project and the Willowell Foundation, you know, it in many ways it was responding to the concerns about humans being alienated from nature. But in the process of creating this, the students are having a lot more fun. So, again, this challenge has kind of created a cool opportunity to rethink how we do something like school. So I think there's an opportunity for us to revision all of the different institutions that are out there. And I think that when I focus on that, I feel hope.
Yeah, hope is good.
Oh, it's the best.
I like hope.
Me too.
Taro visited a special school. Are you ready for this? It's in the natural world. I met some nice boys and girls. Sometimes they get dirty, but they don't mind. That's just part of being alive. If you're learning about a leaf, pick one up. If you're learning about the sky, just look up. I went to a school that was a special kind, made up by a guy whose name is Matt Schlein. It's kind of a school without a school. It's got no roof, it's got no walls. And yeah, it's cold in the winter time. Isn't that the point of the winter time? Just asking. If you're learning about community, look around you. It's outside school, so the natural world surrounds you. Ooh, I like that idea. Next time, baby Taro, I'm gonna meet some cows. So are you. We're gonna meet some cows and they don't moo. And they're not pretty faces. You gotta come with me to meet the cows. We're doing another road trip. Yeah, we do. We're doing on a road trip. A road trip. We're doing on a road trip, Bill and Baby Taro. We're gonna ask people about their apocalypses. We're going on a road trip. Bill and Baby Taro. We're gonna ask people all kinds of questions. And you're invited. We're going on a road trip. A road trip. We're going on a road trip, Bill and Baby Taro. And you're coming too. You've been listening to Baby Taro's Happy Apocalypse Podcast. I hope you've been enjoying it. It was created and produced by Doyle Dean and Bill Vitek. All songs composed and performed by Doyle and Bill. I think they did an excellent job. Support was provided by the New Perennials Project at Middlebury College. You can learn more at newperennials.org. That's a website. You ever go to websites? I'm not allowed to because I'm just a baby guy. And that's okay. I can still listen to podcasts. Do you listen to pod? You're listening to one right now. Good job. You did such a good job listening to the podcast, my things. Thanks for listening to the Baby Taro Happy Apocalypse Podcast.